sanctify those that God accepted into his church. Now, there was a previous idea of the Jews that the Jews was the only one that's going to be brought into the church. Gentiles were dogs. They were not allowed into the church. They did not understand what Paul was going to preach, that Jew and Gentile had to come the same way. There was a lot of issues with the Jews with the beginning of the church because questions about should they be circumcised and other issues that came up that had to be settled, because the Jews had this idea at first that they were the only ones of the house of Israel being brought into the church. Therefore, what happened was for God to for the apostles to know that God was allowing that group into the church, he allowed a baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence, signs that he accepted them, that group. The first one was in Acts chapter 2 of the Jewish believers. Then you find it in Acts chapter number 8. We'll find on down, if you notice it in verse number 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was not fallen upon them, only they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. And then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people has carried that into today, and they think that you've got to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. Today, when you get saved, the moment that you get saved, you receive the Holy Ghost. You're baptized, born again by the Holy Ghost. Your body is made a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. All those are scripture, and all those are told us. But in Acts chapter 8, you had a half Jew and half Gentile in the Samaritans. And so for the church of Jerusalem and the apostles to recognize that God was allowing them to be brought into the church and baptized in the church, he showed it by evidence of giving a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, that's what happened in Acts chapter 8. Then, in a couple more chapters over, in chapter 10, Peter was sent to Cornelius' house by his resistance, because Cornelius was a Gentile. And he thought the Gentiles were unclean, and he didn't want to go there. And God showed him through a vision to go there. And when he went and preached Jesus, you know what happened? God identified and accepted and verified that they were going to be brought into the church by baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the last baptism was in Acts chapter 19, when John's disciples that was wandering around, that had not heard of Jesus and understood about Jesus and didn't understand about church, they were brought into there as well. Amen? So there you have, when it talks about receiving the Holy Ghost, don't start, remember this is a transition period, and don't start buying too much into it and thinking that somewhere along the way, after we get saved, we are going to receive a baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had someone call me this week, a guy I played ball with in college, hadn't talked to him for about 40 years, and he was dying. And I told him I'd be praying for him and put him on our prayer list. He said, "Do you pray in the Spirit?" I said, "I sure try to." He said, "No, I mean, do you pray for the Holy Ghost to come, and do you pray in tongues and all those things?" I said, "No, that's not the way I pray now." And I said, "What you need to understand is," I said, "I pray trusting the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit." I said, the Bible tells me he's inside of me, and he helps me and leads me in praying. Amen? Now, look on. I don't want to get off on that. I've got off farther than I'm planned on already. But follow with me a little bit further. In verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them" what? "Money. Saying, give me all this power, on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Now, do you think he wanted it for Jesus' sake? He wanted to glorify himself. And by the way, a bunch of these thieves and robbers out there, under the pretense of ministering in God's name, is doing it for their sake, not for the Lord's sake. Now, I had this woman one time I visited. We couldn't get her to come to church. I visited. She said, I send 13 TV evangelists $100 every month when I get my check. I said, Bible didn't say send no such money out there. He says to bring on the first day of the week. Bring it. Now look on. Verse 18. And when Simon, or verse 19, saying, give me also this power that whomsoever lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money what? Perish what? With you. Your money's going to perish with you. And because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy what? Heart is not what? It's not enough to believe in your head, folks. You got to have it in your heart. The problem with Simon was this. He had pride before he made a profession. He had pride after he made a profession. He never humbled himself. He never come and fell upon his face before the Lord. He just come to get what he could get. There's a lot of people that just comes and uses the name of God and so forth for just what they can get. You say, do you have scripture for that? Yes, stay with me a minute. But let's look on a minute. Verse 23, for I perceive, Peter saying, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now, look on if you would, and turn back if you would to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to make some people mad. Is that okay? I'm going to blame it on you. Cast it on somebody else. That's the name of the game. Look if you would, but it's the truth that you better get a hold of. Look if you would in Matthew chapter 7. The most sobering chapter there is in the Bible. Starting with verse 13 and 14, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, there's going to be many that goes to hell and few to go to heaven. Man, that's sobering. I don't know about you. I want to be in that number. I want to go. Amen. Look on. Not only that, but also, he goes on, he says you can tell them by their fruit that they bear. But look on, if you would, in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the next word? Whoa, he used that word many again. Not just a few, a lot. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name. Did you ever notice this list of characters out there? Always wanting you to send them pledges and vows and all this money to them. They claim to have prophecy. A new revelation from God. They get something from heaven that's not in the Bible. My friend, stay in the book. That's your full revelation of God right there in your lap. Amen. Don't be deceived. Listen, I could say, boy, God told me to do this. And this, and over here said, God told me to do that. If it's contrary to the word of God, God is not the author of that. The God of this world may be, but not the God that sits up on high is not. Amen. Stay with me a minute. Look on. So they say, have we not prophesied thy name? And in thy name have what? Cast out devils. You know also what they claim to do? Oh, they cast out all these demons. Casting out these demons everywhere. You know what the devil's saying? Paul, I know. You, I don't know. And yet they're claiming, and you know what they're doing in doing that? And they have, so sometimes they get caught with hidden cameras and different things, and they talk to them before, and then bring them up, and they have all these, I can tell you some stories, but I'm not going to get into them. Now. But the point I'm trying to make is this. They do it to bewitch people. Somebody see somebody throw their crutches away, and oh, here they all come. Bewitched. Charmed. Oh, they got smooth tongues. Charming ways. Look on. Cast out devils, and in thy name done many what? She knows all, they're telling all about all the miracles they've done and all these things that they do. But knows what Jesus said. Jesus, not someone else. And then I will profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, he said, you were working in sin the whole time. I didn't know you. You were never born again. And yet here, they'll talk about they believe, and they'll talk about they baptize, and they talk about they're doing all these works in God's name. He said, there are going to be many of them. That's why in the latter days, the Bible tells us, be careful of false teachers and false prophets. And the only way you can be careful is to get in a place where they preach the word of God. You grow and you know how to identify those. And you identify them. You don't get caught up. Now, turning in your Bibles, if you would, real quickly to James chapter 2. I'm never going to finish today. Did y'all bring lunch? James chapter 2. Look, if you would, in James chapter 2. Begin reading with me, you would, in verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Verse number 19. Notice very careful. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also what? Believe. And what? Tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, thy faith without works is dead. Did you know that the devil, turn if you would to Luke chapter 4, real quickly. Luke chapter 4. Did you know that the devil believes in God? Did you know that the devil believes in Christ? People say, well, preacher, I've always just believed in Christ. Well, I have too, for the most part. Ever since I've been old enough and I've heard it, I believed it here. But thank God, one day in Sinking Creek Baptist Church, I believed it there. And man, when I believed it there, I left my mark and a place and a time when I got saved. Amen? You need a place and time when you got saved. Now look here. Notice that the devils also believe. Notice what the devil said in Luke chapter 4, verse number 24. Let's see. That's not where I was going. Let me find it. I went to the wrong place. Let me find it real quickly. I wrote down the wrong scripture. Let me find it real quickly. I believe it's in. It may be. Anyway, I'll tell you, go back and I'll find it later on. What the Bible's talking about here is they recognize, and when Jesus came walking, I believe it's in Matthew 8, but I won't go there. I won't chase it. But anyway, Jesus come walking, and he came to the man of Legion that was possessed by thousands of demons. And they said, what hast thou to do with us, thou Son of God? They knew exactly who Jesus was. The devils know. Not only do they know who Jesus is, the devil also knows the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why does he hide it? He gets us to think that it's some works that we do, and we get all excited, and we can do all this, and we can do this, and we can feel this way and have feelings and all that, and somehow that gets us salvation. He knows that the power of God to save is through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but also the devils believe in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And remember what the demon said to Jesus? Hast thou come to torment us before our time? They know they're going to hell. They know more than what a lot of people does. So just because you say, well, I believe in Jesus, that doesn't make you saved. You can believe it here, but you better get it here. Now, turn on, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. Turn back again. Acts chapter 8, real quickly. And by the way, while you're turning, let me say this. The devil knows which churches to fight against now. He also knows which word of God to fight against. He knows the printed word of God, where it is. He also knows what preaching to fight against. Did you know that? Look back, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. Notice again the contrast of Simon. Begin, if you would, in verse 26. An angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, a queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasures, and had come down to Jerusalem for the worship. Now remember, this guy had come down. He was a proselyte or something. He'd come down to Jerusalem to worship during this Passover time. And he evidently, I don't know, I assume that he was worshiping and thinking and believing as the Jews did, not recognizing Jesus to be the Messiah. But he heard some things while he was there, and he saw some things because Jesus had been crucified while he was there. Then the word of his resurrection was around, and he was really confused on what was going on. And so he was sitting in his chariot reading, and the Bible says, in verse number 28, that he was reading from the book of Isaiah. In verse number 31, he needed someone to guide him. In verse 32, he went to the place of Scripture, which he read. Now, if you'll notice, the eunuch in chapter 8, Saul in chapter 9, Cornelius in chapter 10, all needed three things: the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and a man of God to explain it to them. Yep. Amen. Now look on. Now notice here that the eunuch was in his chariot and he was reading, and he was reading from Isaiah 53, verse 7. Then the Bible says that Philip went up into his chariot to cut a little time. Look in verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him what? The only hope for you go to heaven is preaching Jesus. Amen. Now notice here that he preached Jesus. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, now Philip done seen a dupe in Simon, saying he believed and was baptized, then wanted to purchase the power of giving Holy Ghost. Now notice what he tells him. And Philip said, if thou believest with what? All thy heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, thank God, here this eunuch, he had a time and a place where he got saved. You know how he got saved? Same way Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says we get saved. With confessing of our mouth and believing in our heart that God is raised him from the dead. For with the mouth, with the heart, man believes in righteousness. In other words, we have to believe in our heart. Now, let me give you these real quickly, and I'm going to close. There's some things that I'm glad, and this is what I believe in my heart. With all my heart, I believe this. Number one, I believe without doubt that Jesus was God. He's not a God. He's not an angel. He's not a messenger. He's not a good prophet. He is God. The Son of God, he was Jehovah himself. He was a creator. He is a sustainer, according to Scripture. All things that was made by him. Amen. And so Jesus is Lord of lords, kings of kings. He wasn't made some given time of God. He was always, because he is God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three distinct individuals, yet all united as one. Amen? Now, so I believe he was born virgin. Amen? I believe that he walked this life sinlessly. I believe he died, was buried, rose again. And I believe that's the message that people's got to be saved under. They've got to look to the cross and see him doing the work for their sin and doing the work that is acceptable to God for their sin. And they have to come as a sinner calling upon him to be their Savior. And when he does, he'll save them. And I believe that he can save anybody. Where grace abounds, or where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Yes. Amen? So grace can go deeper than any sin ever trod. Somebody said, oh, so-and-so, they're hopeless. Nobody's never hopeless with God. Amen? Now, not only that, look on. I not only believe that, I believe he's coming back. Amen? A couple other things I want you to know that I believe from the depths of my heart. One is, I don't believe this is the best translation. I believe this is inerrant, infallible. I believe this is inspired. I believe this is the word of God for English-speaking people. I don't believe it may be the word of God, contains the word of God. I believe it is the word of God. Amen? And I believe it from the depth of my heart. I was saved under this preaching of the King James Bible. It's still alive today. It hasn't changed. And I'm not going to depart from it. Somebody say, well, the other translations are easy. The other translations, this is not a better translation. They were translated from a different manuscript altogether. Funny thing, 300 years, and then they finally figured out, let's get something. I wonder who was behind that mastermind. The devil knows which Bible to attack. Yes. Somebody said, well, you're one of those? I sure am. From the depths of my heart. I believe it, I preach it, and I'm not going to preach from any other version. This is what I believe the Word of God is. It was powerful enough to save my soul, and I still see it powerful enough to save other people. Amen? And I don't just believe it here, I believe it here. You say, well, preacher, how did you get where you believe? I studied. I studied the history of the Bible. I studied where it came from. I studied all about it. And I also studied the Word of God, and I know what's alive. You want to kill a church? Take away it. And it'll kill a church. Know that. Now, this fly a few feathers, but I also believe my doctrine is right. If I didn't, I'd move on somewhere else. I believe that the doctrine where I go to church is right. Not that we're perfect, but I believe the doctrine right. I believe we have a few things we believe separate than other people. I believe the church began with Jesus. Not on the day of Pentecost. I believe it began with Jesus. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Amen? Listen, the Bible says that they were added to the church, not that the church began. Did you know we're the only ones believe it began with Jesus? Number two, you know we're the only one believe that when you get saved, now a lot of people believe this in other denominations, but that's not what their denomination teach. Did you know that we're the only one believe that when you get saved, you're kept by the power of God? That there is nothing within this earth can separate you from the love of Jesus? Did you know there's nothing in this earth that's powerful enough to take you out and pluck you out of the hand of God? Amen. Somebody said, well, I believe that. I just do anything I want to do. No, you wouldn't if you got the real stuff. Because when you believe in your heart, when the Holy Ghost comes, it changes. And by the way, believing in your heart changes a person. And besides that, what you need to understand is that when you have believed and you're saved, that you're being kept by God. You're sealed until the day of redemption. And by the way, I say this a lot of times, and there's 1,000 things I could use, but just remember this. In Luke chapter 15, when one sinner repenteth, in chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10 both, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven. You know why they're rejoicing when one sinner repents? Because they know when he repents on earth, at that moment, that time, that place, he's bound for heaven. If he wasn't bound for heaven, they say, whoa, let's hold off a minute. See how he lives the rest of his life before we start celebrating. But the Bible doesn't say they wait till he gets to heaven to celebrate. They say the moment he repents, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You know why? He has eternal life, everlasting life. Don't try to cut that word up and make it say something it doesn't. It means when you're saved, you have eternal life and you shall not ever perish. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. I believe it from the depths of my heart. Amen. Listen, the one I'm most disappointed with in this life, The one I have all the confidence in the world in?
Yes.
I'm going to heaven because of him.
Yep.
Not because of him. Amen. The only thing he did was believe in his heart what he did. And when I believed in my heart what I did, then I've got a place and time I can take you to. And I say, right there, settled it and settled it long ago.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You ever had it settled? You believe in your heart you got it settled? Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel. Listen, you better get away from your feelings. There's a lot of times I don't feel like things. But another thing. And boy, could we get a good dose of this. I believe the old paths are the best paths.
Yeah.
Boy, all this new progressive stuff, it's really done our families a good dose of goodness. Our schools, our children, our country. Take a good look.
Yes.
We do a good world of good. If we could only, I don't think we'll ever get back there. But if we go back, setting somebody on fire when they misbehaved. Parents supporting the teachers, having a little respect and character, integrity, and not sitting there supporting a bunch of outlaws. Two more things, I'm going to close. All my heart. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if we're not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe there's a heaven, as much as I believe Burnside exists. With all my heart, I believe there's a heaven. I believe in heaven there'll be no pain, no suffering, no dying. I believe we'll live with Jesus. But in believing what the Scripture says about heaven, I believe it all. I don't understand the streets of gold. I don't understand the gates of pearl. I don't understand the walls of jasper. I just believe it.
Yep.
I don't understand the river of life. I don't understand the tree of life. I just believe it. I don't understand how that we'll go through all life. Never have a problem. But I believe it.
Yeah.
With all my heart. And I'm so glad I got my reservation made. Last but not least. John said, I saw a great white throne in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, for there was found no place for him. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged according to those things written, according to the works. The sea gave up the dead that was in them. Death and hell delivered the dead in them. They were judged, the Bible says. Verse 14, death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. With all my heart, I believe there's heaven. But I also believe in heaven that there's not going to be many going to go there. I believe the few is going to make it. Not because of what I think, because of what Jesus said. But I also believe there's a hell. Now I believe anyone, great and small, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know what small and great means? Rich, poor, big, little, famous, unknown. It doesn't matter. You die without Jesus, and you listen to me out there. You die without Jesus. And hell will be your destiny. The moment you close your eyes in death on this earth, your soul will be in the torments of hell. Luke chapter 16, in torments. There awaiting that great day of judgment when you will be cast into the lake of fire. Do I enjoy preaching about it? No. Why do I preach about it? Because I believe it from the depths of my heart. And my friend, you have only one hope. Not saying I believe Jesus, because most of us have believed Jesus was the Son of God from little toddler all the way up. Not saying I was baptized, because most of us have been baptized. But because you have a time and place like an Ethiopian eunuch that you can go back and say, I believe it with my whole heart. And I called upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where I got saved at. My friend, that wrote your name on a reservation to heaven. And that keeps one day when you die and you lose this life here from your name being blotted out of the book of life. You have eternal life, so your name can never be taken out of the book of life. Are you saved this morning? It all depends, the contrast. One man believed here, baptized, died lost. You know what tradition said he did? Tradition said he went and he formed a ministry claiming to be a Christian preacher and joined it with the Babylonian religion and began to keep his sorceries and trickeries in his ministry. He died, as far as we know, never being saved. This one, a eunuch, heard about Jesus, believed with all his heart, and was saved.
Yes.
Which one are you? Or maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've never made a profession. Maybe God is drawing you to come." Three things you need to be saved. Preaching the foolishness of it, to help you understand it, the drawing of the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. And my friend, you've got all three of them this morning, but you must be willing to come. Would you come as we stand? If you're here this morning and not saved, I was reading